All right. Are we ready?
Yep.
Ready.
All right. Oh, say. I'm just kidding. I'm not really sorry. Did Rory steal the Declaration of Independence? Did Bridget storm the Capitol to protest a potential TikTok ban? We'll let you know because it's a Tishy small talk spectacular. In the middle-aged mama studios in Austin, Texas, I'm Hillary Livingston Butler, and this show has everything. The show is not just focused on my family shenanigans. Joining me today, I have two of my coven friends. In the Stick of Butter studios in New Brighton, Minnesota, it's Anne Lundholm. Hi, Anne.
Hi, you only thought I wasn't in D.C. I was following you the whole time.
I wish I would have been like, hello, I need a friend. I need to get away from my family. And in the Money Pit Studios in Detroit, Michigan, it's Meredith Van Horn.
Hello, I'm following you. I'll be in D.C. in a couple weeks.
You loser. No, just
I
kidding.
Just want to do everything that you're doing.
I know. Yeah, that's what you should do. It's exactly what you should do. You should like stomp around DC and be looking at Google Maps and making sure, because you're the only person in your family that's paying attention to where we are. So I suggest you do that. No,
I will.
Okay, as usual, we'll get into some small talk, not medium talk, because it's all small talk, some Tishy recommends, and how you can get involved with the show. Let's go to the mailbag first, Meredith.
Yes. Our Facebook question of the week was the very fascinating, how often do you check your mail? From our show last week about the mail. And you guys, you know, we got some more varied opinions than I thought we were going to.
Yeah.
So Bet says every day. Scott says every day ? However, I only deal with bills once a week. I like that policy.
Yeah. Well, that's different.
Yes.
Dealing with bills is different from checking the mail.
Yes.
I approve of this.
Yeah, I agree. Carolyn says, my husband checks every day. If it was up to me, it would be every 2 to 3 days.
I love the disagreement.
It's yeah. I don't approve. Daniel says, the post box is to the right of the front door, so I usually check when I get home from work every afternoon. I don't do much with it, though. More often than not, I glance through it to see if there's anything to immediately open, a rarity, and pile it on the credenza by the door to be sorted later when I feel like it, usually when I know such and such bill needs paying.
Yeah, that Oof, I can't live with that
I know.
Uncertainty, man.
I know. That's a lot.
You're brave, Daniel.
Lane says, only when I see something good in the Informed Delivery Daily Digest. Though that doesn't always match what's actually delivered. That's true. I get a lot of, like, images of mail that is meant for other people who used to live in this house, and they don't actually ever deliver it anymore, which is cool with me. Anne says Monday and Friday, our town P.O. box delivery only, and we leave before the P.O. opens and return after it closes.
Oh, God.
Small town life, right?
Yep.
And Amanda says, about every other day, mostly because I forget, and there's usually nothing that exciting anyway.
Yeah. See, that is the story of mail in yes. this age. There's yes, not really that much it's really exciting. Not.
And Catherine says every day.
It seems to me that I am the long outlier on this one with my once every 3 weeks.
And the only reason why I check, if somebody tells me that they sent me something, like Meredith, you're sending me something and I might check it. But I like don't, we had the grouping ones and it's truly like, I take Bruce on a walk by it every day, but I sometimes don't have my keys with me and I'm like, ugh, I'm carrying poop in one hand, the leash in the other. Like, how am I going to carry, you know, mail with me? I think we check it. I try to make it once a week, but sometimes I forget. And then I feel guilty because I'm like, it is so loaded with bullshit, like a Valpak or whatever. And I'm like, sorry. And our mailbox is like tiny. And I'm like, sorry. Yep. I feel like an asshole. And I think we have had it once where they're like, we just took some of your mail like to the post office because we can't fit
it.
Oh,
like you have to come and pick it up because we
yes.
can't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I don't think we get any bills anymore. I don't. Mm-mm. There's.
I don't mean, either. Well, every once in a while, I'll get like a medical bill, yeah, especially after the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But yeah, mostly it's just explanation of benefits and not actually a bill.
Or and they'll send it and then you're like, you can pay it online or whatever, you know, it's it's on there. But occasionally we'll get like a power bill, but it's, we pay it online. I mean, we pay it, it's just automatically. I don't know why they send a paper bill. We've already,
I get a paper
them,
bill for my water bill too, and it's auto debited. Yeah. And I told them to stop sending me bills, and they still spend the postage to send me one every month. And I'm like, okay.
And they're all, and they're always like, try for paperless. And I'm like, I'm trying.
Meredith, did you ever get your water bill situation figured out?
Well, every once in a while, it's still like, I don't think I've actually paid a water bill in several months because I keep getting credits. like, it'll be like negative $53. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know why, but like, I ask in like the Detroit Discord, and other people who live in Detroit are like, yeah, mine's like that too. They just did some credit and I don't know why. So the short answer is no, but I'm like, rolling with it, because as long as they don't think I owe them money, I'm not going to pay them money.
Sure, whatever.
And I think I check my almost every day, and it's mostly because I order a lot of packages and they'll cram it into the mailbox.
Yeah.
I ask them to put it on the back porch, of course, but they hardly ever do. So if it's something that will fit in the mailbox, they will cram it. I also have a mail slot in the screen door in the front, and they will sometimes use that. And it's like this rusty, I think it's original to the house, so it makes this horrible screeching sound. So I always know when they put something in there because it scares everybody in the house.
Yeah.
The cats all run away.
Like, yeah, actually I have such a memory of my parents' house, because we definitely had that at my parents' old house, which is like a slot. And there would, you would walk in and there would just be mail on the floor. It seems like a really weird way of depositing the mail, but I guess that was...
But that's a very big movie trope, right?
Yes.
When you go to somebody's house and there's a whole pile of mail inside the front door, you're like, oh, this person has not been here in...
Yes, totally.
Mine just goes between my screen door and my door, though, and if it rains, it gets soaking wet. It's great. But it's usually just junk, so I don't care.
Flawless system.
Yeah, it's great.
Something that my beloved husband does when he goes and gets the mail... You know, again, it's 99% like credit card, whatever, and coming from Livonia. And
thank you.
And or Salt Lake City as well. That's a big one.
That's true.
And whatever, you know, something from my college, like asking for money or whatever. And I, when I get it, I go through it really quickly and I sort it through like what's real or maybe sort of real and what's like bullshit. And I... Before I get into the house, I go throw it in the recycling bin because I'm like, I don't even want to like engage with this. Like, this is annoying to me. And Dave will just plop it on like the breakfast counter. And I'm like, I hate clutter like this. It's just this crap that's hanging around. And it's eventually going to go in the recycling anyway. So why did you bring it? Don't bring it in my house. I don't want it in here.
I put a recycling bin next to the front door so that I could directly throw that stuff away. And then I put Gregory's mail on his desk, and then I deal with mine immediately because I cannot let it sit there.
Yeah. Me too.
Absolutely not. The only thing that I love the show. And again, like I said on Jambo, I like to listen to the shows that I'm not on. But y'all were talking about pen pals, and I laughed at Meredith's pen pal again.
Oh my God.
The kid logic of it makes me laugh so hard because I could totally see myself doing that. It's like, I don't want to disappoint them. So what if I just like tell them
I just die? I'm dead. Sorry.
But I remember we had some in, unfortunately, mine was not Anne's because my pen pal, I remember she was from Allentown. We did it through our class or whatever. Like we had a sister school or something in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think that's common.
And ours, she lived in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I remember she was like so excited to tell me about what? Billy Joel. And I was like, I had never heard that song before. So I was like, oh, okay. And it was like, that was the big, it was like, there's a song about our town. And I was like, cool. And that was about the extent of my pen pal-ness. And she went to the amusement park, I guess, in Hershey. I guess there's one there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Anyway, that was my exciting mail. But yeah, thanks, y'all. Mail is fun. When it's good mail, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
Last thing, I do love getting letters. I mean, I've barely gotten a letter, but my uncle, who I adore, who lives truly, he lives like 3 miles away from me. He sends me a birthday card every birthday, and I love it. I mean, it's so funny because he's just this, you know, I don't know, 65-year-old man that sends a little birthday card. Like, he must
sweet.
Buy, I know, he must buy, like, a ton of cards every year, and he just, like, goes into his little card file and sends
My dad does like, that. He, like, collects them over the year. He's like, oh, I think this person will like that one. So if he's just out in, like, May or whatever, he'll find one that somebody will like for their birthday, and he's got a big calendar. Like paper calendar of everybody's birthday.
Yep.
And he actually sends them. He used to forget mine every year because, of course, he did. Because I'm the middle child.
But I love that it's like he's really into birthdays except mine.
Except for mine because I don't exist. But I think he's finally got it figured out and I get it on time now every year.
I salute that. I'm not interested in looking through the card section anywhere unless I have an immediate need for a card.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It is a, I mean, I there's a Trader Joe's near my work, and Trader Joe's now actually has pretty cute cards. And I'm always like, it's like the morning of my anniversary or day's birthday or one of the kids' birthdays. And I'm like,
shit, I got to go to Trader Joe's. They're like a dollar, too. And they're really cute.
Yeah. I'm not good at that. Love people who
plan. Oh, me neither. The only good mail I get is Bobby's Christmas card and my aunt and uncle who send me a weird letter about all the things they ate this year for Christmas.
I like it.
They're like, we went to Vienna and had duck l'orange. I'm like, cool. Thanks, guys.
Great. Oh, my God. I love it.
Where else would you have duck l'orange except maybe France?
Not these two. They'll live it anywhere.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, should we go on to Medium Talk?
Yes.
All right. As it's titled, Small Talk Spectacular Coven Edition. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, we don't have the full coven since Christy isn't here. But
we have a partial
The
coven.
Absence of Bobby sort of
Can
means
we fix
coven.
The river confluence or whatever?
Yes.
Just the three of us?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think,
we need our
I think
actual
we're gonna be
witch.
In trouble.
Well, first, should we start off by Anne found a fabulous personality test.
Anne, I need you to tell us where you found this first.
Because I was watching Twitch this morning and the streamer I was watching had it and was doing it.
Yes.
And I said, I must do this right away before he gets his results. And then I got my results and I said, we must do this on the show.
Excellent.
We must.
Yes.
There's nothing about it. We love a personality test on this here show.
Yes.
We've done entire episodes of personality tests. And this is one of the best ones that I found. We'll have to talk about. I find that the accuracy question, I think, is irrelevant to this test because it's still the best test I've ever taken.
Agree.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's called the Cosmos Persona Test. And Meredith, you thought I found something in Cosmo.
Yeah, I saw the link and I was like, what's Anne doing reading Cosmo?
The what year kind of 2024.
It is the Cosmos, as in the universe, the universe persona test. So I don't know. Is it worth going through and... It's there's only 12 questions, so we could go through it.
Yeah,
and then
I think we should
share our results. Okay, so Cosmos Persona, I have it pulled up here. Enter a journey across space and time and find out your persona. And then at the bottom in really small letters, it says a fun personality quiz inspired by MBTI types, innate personalities. What does that say? God. Does that say Coke or cake? Resume, etc. I don't know. I can't tell.
It looks like Coke to me.
Yeah. This laptop
Why is it
is...
so small? Our eyes
I don't
are
know.
Not young enough for this test.
All right. I'm going to start it. We'll just go through. All right. Question one. You're taking the bus on your way back home. It's been a long day. What are you thinking about? And the possible answers are either, I'm just so tired and can't wait to go home. Why do every day feel the same? Or... should I rest or work first when I get home? Most importantly, what's for dinner?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Question two. You look outside the windows. Seems like it's going to rain soon. Suddenly, everything turns to darkness. Your options are, I don't remember this tunnel. Pull out your phone to look at the map. Or, turn around to see the other's reaction. Should I ask the driver what's going on?
Okay.
Okay.
Got a narrative beginning here. Question three. Before you could do anything, the bus stops, and everything around you floats up. Your choices are, okay, this is weird. Am I dreaming? Pinch your arm. Is this a prank? Am I getting kidnapped by aliens?
Yes.
Which takes us to question four. Amidst the surprise, your eyes catch something drifting past the window. Your choices are, whoa, so many cats. How cute. I want to give them a hug. I think I know how Meredith answered this one. And the other choice is, cats? In space? That's kind of odd. How do they survive out there?
Okay.
Question five. Welcome aboard. A small robot appears and announces, we will reach our destination in 5 months, 6 days, and 2 hours. Your choices are cool, a space cruise. Where are we going? Do I get a spacesuit? This is so exciting. Or, hey, am I in space? How did I get here? When can I go home? Why? Which takes us to question six. The robot just points to the back of the bus, which now looks more like the inside of a spaceship. What do you want to see first? The solar system themed fountain in the middle. I want to take pictures with it. Or cozy corner with a massaging chair. I need to sit down and process. Question seven. On the way back to your seat, you are surrounded by cats. Unauthorized passenger detected. Capture, capture. Your choices are, whoa, what do you mean unauthorized? I'm the passenger of this cruise. Or, okay, I have no idea what's going on. How about we calm down and chat for a bit? Really, the graphics on this
are very cute.
Add a lot, too. Question eight. Suddenly, the robot glides in. It whispers something to the cats that makes them stop. Your options are, Bob, thank you. You come to save me, right? Or, ha, that's right, back off, cats. Am I safe to go now? Question nine. The robot transforms into a giant vacuum cleaner. The cats use it to point at you. Your options are throw your coat at them as a distraction, run towards the big green exit sign, or run in random direction, confuse them, blend in with the crowd. Question 10. You run past the gift shop. Of course you do. Looks like you got rid of them. It wouldn't hurt to get some souvenirs, right? Your choices are get the Jupiter headphone, wear it to hear people's thoughts, or get the Mars watch, turn it, and you can time travel. Question 11. The giant vacuum cleaner suddenly emerges in front of you. You're sucked into its vortex. Three excited marks. Your options are, it's okay, this is just a dream. I'll wake up soon. Close your eyes and give up. Or, I'll find the way out. Maybe there are some secret doors. Look around for the way out. And finally, question 12. After a moment of darkness, you find yourself back in the bus. Are you all right? The ticket inspector asks. Whoa, I thought I was captured. Never mind, I'm all right now, I guess. Panic and silence. Or, you won't believe it. I think I just had the wildest dream ever. Tell him about your space adventure. And now, when you look up again, the inspector's already gone. You glance outside the window. Darkness creeps in as the bus enters another tunnel. Dot, dot, dot. Wait, was that Bob? Or, oh no, do I have to go through this again?
This is a good quiz. What it really quiz. Took some unexpected turns.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very much a journey.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about results. Hillary, why don't you share yours first?
All right. Let me pull it up because I had to do it not on my work computer because it's inexplicably banned. I am a rocket. It means, which some of this I'm like, I don't know, but I'll read the highlights. Ready to face anything that's foolish enough to face you. A reliable leader. Stop crying and start working. T-pose to assert dominance. I'll just do everything myself. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm like that. I feel like a lot of times I was like, I think I'm going to run away. Like, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on. My strengths are that I'm a fast learner, I'm inspiring and impactful, and I don't give up easily. My weaknesses are I'm ruthless, hot-headed, and give harsh comments. What? what about y'all?
So, I also am a rocket. You did not read the our cosmic ingredients, 100% efficiency, 89% tough love, yes. 11% saw we didn't mean it, and 0% sugarcoat. Honestly, some of these hit pretty good for me.
Yeah.
The hot-headed, probably not. The harsh comments, I would counter that it's not harsh comments, it's just the truth.
Yeah, it's just honesty.
But you're maybe not ready for that. I'm definitely a fast learner. I think I'm impactful. I don't give up easily. I'll just do everything myself.
Yes. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
I mean, I feel like I'm like this with my children, but I'm not like this with other people. Like in the world, I'm usually like way nicer, but yes. And with my children, I'm like, you know, stop crying, start working.
I think I'm a nicer version of that. It's yeah. more like, well, the situation is what it is, so it doesn't do us any good
yes.
to be freaking out about it. Yeah. Let's just start problem solving. Honestly, yes. I'm Matt Damon in The Martian.
Yes.
Gotta just, is who I am. It's like solve the problem.
Make poop potatoes. This is how I'm going to survive.
Meredith, how about you?
And this might be the first test that we didn't get the same result on.
Oh, my God.
I got Galaxy.
Oh.
I don't know what you guys' percentage, but this says 3% of people are also this type.
Mine is 2%.
Oh, okay. So I'm more common. So the traits are showering others with compliments, the more the merrier, single-handedly banish negativity. No. Don't think so. Really love handmade gifts. That's true. And it's okay to make mistakes. The strengths are chief emotional officer, very good listener, and let me help you, please. Weaknesses are responsibilities overload. Yes. Intense. Yes. Can't lie. Yes. I used to be able to lie, but now I can't. My cosmic ingredients are 65% charisma, 34% cuddles, and 1% angry emoji face. I don't know what that means, but okay, sure.
Well, interestingly enough, as I was doing the test again and reading it, I somehow managed to make a different choice somewhere along the line. So the second time I have come up with Nebula, ooh, which is 2% of people, awkward genius.
Hello.
Great friend, best enemy, inventing solutions to non-existing problems. It's process improvement is what it is. Only opens up to close friends. Nothing is impossible. Okay. Tech savvy, hiding emotions, DIY master are the strengths. I cry a lot, guys. Weaknesses, can't stand illogical argument. Thank you. Yes. Inefficiency, no. Emotionally clueless, no. Cosmic ingredients, 100% too many hobbies, 100% too many thoughts, yes. Yeah. And 30%, So I would say, I think it's like any personality test that there are some confirmation biases
yes.
that mm-hmm. really yeah. come into play, and maybe they're onto something, and maybe it's just a bit of fun.
Yes. I know. At work the other day, the woman I work with was like, let's all take our Enneagram. And I was like, this is so long. Why is this? This is like,
I never. Oh, those take forever. Enneagram is so, your designation is so complicated to me that I can never remember it.
Mm-hmm. That's how mine, and I think I've gotten different answers like the couple of times I've taken it. This time it was like, you're a helper. And I was like, I don't like that. That's annoying to me. Like, I'm just like, what do you need? I'll help you. I don't want that.
And it's always like, you're a 4 with a 6 rising or something. Yes, I don't know. It's astrology.
Yep. Exactly. Well, that was very fun. Fun kickoff to small talk. All right. Who wants to go first? Should I lay out my DC?
Yes, I think you should.
I want to hear about DC.
All right. Taking notes. Let's see. And Meredith, I have my itinerary that I sent to Dave, and I said I should have been a travel agent because, and I'll send it to you.
Yes, please.
I single-handedly did this whole thing, and Dave would agree with me. I'm not even putting him on Front Street. Like, I was like, does anybody have any, does anybody want to do anything in particular? What's on, you know, everybody just looks at me like, I don't know. Rory was the only one that said, I want to go to the Holocaust Museum. And I'm like, okay, buddy, let's think about this. So anyway, so we fly out early on.
Oh my God.
This kid.
He's precious.
He is a precious angel baby. Though he made me mad because he took a really, he came out of the shower and his face was still dirty. And I was like, you need to start taking better showers. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, your face is still dirty. You were barely under the water. Anyway. So we flew out super early on Saturday. Dave told me this, the Austin airport I used to love because I was like, it's so easy. Like, it's a smallish airport. It's so much better than LAX. I love it so much. Now, Austin's grown so much that it actually kind of sucks now. You just, if you go in the middle of the day, it's no big deal. But early in the morning, it's kind of a nightmare. And they've closed down a security part because they're redoing it. Anyway, so I'm really like, I would rather just get there, even if it's so early. I'd rather just get there and we're through and then I can go have a coffee or a mimosa if it's an appropriate time of day and we're just,
oh,
I don't
you don't need
it.
An appropriate time of day for an airport drink. Come on.
You know, 6:30 is a little bit early even for me, but yes.
Airports exist out of time and space.
True, it's totally true.
For all that the time is extremely important while you're in them, there is a weird timelessness to them.
I totally agree. But we got there and honestly, we were there. I mean, we were there early-ish, but it wasn't like we had oodles of time. Boarded. We were flying United, which I don't really ever fly of the big airlines. Like, it's just really not one that, unless I was going to Chicago or something, it's just not one that I fly that much. And I was a little bit dubious. It was actually not bad at all. And it was the direct flight to Dulles, which, I mean, don't get me started on Dulles because it's that airport sucks.
That's what I'm flying into too.
It just is what it is. It's the bigger airport. It's like flying to DFW. Although I don't mind DFW, but it's like DFW versus Love
Field.
I'd
much rather fly into Love Field. Yeah.
Yeah, Love Field is just closer in, and it's a smaller airport.
At least there's a train.
There is. We flew there. I did the trick. So I used to always give Starbucks cards because I was like, well, they're just portable. And I feel like if I were a flight attendant, I would be excited to get a Starbucks card because I'm like, ooh, free coffee. But I've had greater success, really, with chocolates. So I found they have them all over the place. This thing called Foxtrot, which is a way too expensive, like bougie, like little corner grocery store. To call it a grocery store is too much. It's just like a corner store, like a nicer 7-Eleven, basically, that's near my office. They have them. They're based in Chicago, but they have them all over the place now. And I bought these little s'mores snack mix things, and I bought four of them. And we were in the last row. So I was like, kids, give two to the flight attendants up front, and then we'll save the other two, give them to the flight attendants in the back. So we did it. I got one mimosa.
You got four things of jeez.
Yeah, but they were only like $3, so it was like whatever. Okay. It wasn't a big deal. I ordered a mimosa and she was like, oh, of course, gave it to me and I didn't have to pay. Even though I'm like, I'm really trying to do the thing where I'm not expecting it. I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And then she gave me a second one when we were like literally 20 minutes from landing. I'm like, and then I took it, but I was like,
chug.
I know, it's a gun. Kind of stresses me out. Obviously like psychotically checking the weather because I'm like, okay, you know, how do we need to pack? And I have to think about, you know, walking places and all that. And the weather was sort of crazy. It was like, we got there and I have a lot of family that lives up there and my cousin who's so nice and I adore him. And the last time I was there was for his wedding and he now has three kids. But he picked us up and he was like, well, if the weather's nice, we'll go to a winery out by Dulles. They have a whole bunch of wineries. And I was like, okay, that's great. And he's like, they serve food and the kids can run around. Well, it was like pouring rain and it was cold. I mean, not like crazy cold, but it was, you know, in the 40s or whatever. So I was like, okay, scrap that. He drove me by my grandmother's old house, which was lovely. And then we just went to some pizzeria place to have lunch. And his wife and their other two kids met us. And it was fun. The restaurant was mostly empty, so we could let the kids run around. That was great. Now, because it was sort of shitty, I was like, let's just go to the hotel and let's just like, we can take a nap. We'd been up for so long. I was like, we can take a nap and then we'll go to dinner. Like Saturday was sort of a wash. So we did all that. But what I did notice when we got to the hotel is I was like, it's kind of muggy in here. Like it's a little bit stifling in here. And I looked and the air conditioning wasn't working. Which, like, it was cold outside, so it's not like I need air conditioning. But when I sleep, I really do like the air to be moving a little bit. Like, I just, having it just still kind of, it's just, I wake up and I'm kind of hot. So we went out to dinner that night at Old Ebbets Grill, which is kind of a tourist trap, but it's fun. And it's just a cool old historical D.C. restaurant. And it was, the food was good. Slept and, you know, woke up and AC was still not working. And so Dave went and checked before we were like venturing out on Sunday. And he was like, hey, the AC's not working. And they were like, oh, yeah, we know, we're working on it. You know, just we'll have it fixed by the time you get back today. Okay, fine. Well, okay. So before we actually went out to our little adventure that day on Sunday, I met a listener to the show, Anne Louise. Bridget and I met her for brunch near, she lived not super far from our hotel. And we met her at this really cute brunch place that was just down the street. And it was so nice. It was really fun to meet her. We had a good time. And what I loved about her is I was like, yeah, we have to go to the Air and Space Museum. We have tickets at like 11 or something. And she was like, okay, you got to go now. Like you need to get going. Like I just like appreciate somebody who's like aware of time and is like, you got to like, cause I'm always aware of time, but I don't want to be rude and be like, we have to go now. But it was really, really fun seeing her, in person.
I'm jealous.
I know, she's great. And I was like, you know, I was like, not to be like, teacher Anne Louise, like tell Bridget about the history of DC and like why, you know, what the voting situation is here and like you don't really have a congressperson, you know. And I'm sure Bridget was like, okay, great, mommy, can I have your phone? No, it was
no taxation without representation. And she's like, TikTok, please.
TikTok. But then that day we went to the Air and Space Museum and it was fun. The only thing is I think it's cool. I would not necessarily recommend it at this moment because a lot of it is under construction. And apparently they opened up another Air and Space Museum out by Dulles. And my cousin was like, oh, it's really cool. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to go. We didn't rent a car. I'm not Bobby. We're not renting a car. I don't want to drive in DC. I not interested. There's public transit for a reason and Lyfts and Ubers. Anyway, that one was supposed to be better. The Air and Space Museum was fun. It was just, it was Sunday and it was pretty packed in there. So it was like, the kids had a good time. And, you know, there was a planetarium that we saw and that was all great, but it was like, we kind of had to scoot out there. And then sometimes a little bit of this, I'm like, I had everything sort of organized. It was like, okay, then we're going to dinner here. We're going to dinner here. And then it was like, we'd be tired and be like, let's just go to dinner, you know, by the hotel. Like I don't really care that much. I'm like not even that hungry now. I'm so tired because I did make them walk quite a bit.
You marched them to and fro across that city.
I know, poor Dave's knee is kind of messed up and he was like, I might take a lift. And I was like, that's fine. And Bridget was like, yeah, me too. Rory was my champagne walker. He would really like get the steps in with me. Monday was our Holocaust Museum day. And it was, you know, it's always a good reminder of all the atrocities that went on. And it was a lot. And I've been before and it's a really, really, really intense, well done museum. And we all got a lot out of it. The one thing was there were so many high school field trips that were there at the same time. Oh. And they make it so you almost like feel like it's made to feel like a little bit claustrophobic in there. Not really, but like it's sort of that feeling like they want you to sort of feel what it feels like to be. And when you're with, you know, hordes of tweens and teens, you're like, oh, my God, I'm just like trying to break free of being behind this wandering mass of people. Anyway, it was good. And I'm glad we did it. And there was a point, though, with the kids that we looked at them. We're like, OK, are y'all ready to leave? Because not that it was bad. It was just like, this is a lot, especially for a 12 and a 9-year-old. It's a lot of information and they know about it. It's not like this is their first exposure to the Holocaust, but when they're laying out some stuff that you're like, oh my God, like it's just even, and the lead up to it is the stuff that maybe they didn't know as much about, just like Kristallnacht and closing down all the Jewish businesses and that's all that stuff. It just is. It's a lot of information all at one time. So after that, I was like, okay, we have to do something fun. So we got into a lift and went to Georgetown. Which, Meredith, go to Georgetown. It's so cute. it's a little bit farther out. And it's a little bit harder to get there on public transportation, but it is so cute. It's just like little shops. I mean, there's a lot of shops that you can like get in any cute like shopping area, but it's just like these old homes. It's, you know, on the water. It's just a really, really cool spot. And so we had lunch there and kind of shopped around. I let the kids go to this place called Georgetown Cupcake, which I remembered that there was like a reality show in like 2009 about it. And I was like, oh yeah, this place. I can't believe it's still here.
Oh, when cupcakes were like novel and everyone's like, yes,
exactly.
Cupcakes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and then Dave and Bridget were like, we're going to take a lift home. And I made Rory walk to the metro station because I was like, we have these. We have money on our Metro cards. Like, we are going to use them. And we can walk down in Georgetown. We can talk about all the stuff. And we walked to my favorite metro station. When I was a kid, I thought this was so funny. It's Foggy Bottom. And I thought it was hilarious. So we got great joy out of that. And then let's see. Okay, Tuesday was our big day. Tuesday was our capital day. I had emailed... Again, I did fucking everything on this trip. I had emailed... my Congressman Lloyd Doggett, who's like, he's been there forever, and he's this old Democrat that's just, he's been in Congress for a long time, and his staff was really nice, and they got back to me, and we couldn't have a White House tour, but we could have a Capitol tour, and my cousin who had worked at the Capitol, he was like, the Capitol tours are better anyway, like, don't worry about it, it's better. I was like, all right, so we went to the Capitol, we went down, and I mean, there was a line to get in everything, but since I had like tickets and I was sort of like prepared, it went pretty fast. We didn't meet Lloyd Doggett, but his like aide toured us around, and then we met up with our like weirdo like Capitol tour guide who is. So we all are wearing headphones, and he's all talking in the microphone, like, this is blah blah blah, this is blah blah blah, and then he asks a question, and I can hear. Like, does anybody know what blah, blah, blah? And I can hear this little voice go, I do. And I was like, oh no, that's Rory. That's Rory. And so we toured around that. It is pretty cool. I mean, even though, you know, whatever you think of those clowns in Congress, it is like interesting to see all of it. And the thing about DC that I love is it's so like, planned, like it's just is not all parts of it, but the limestone buildings, it's just is really, it's like very striking. And that day, Tuesday, it started to get warm. I mean, it was like in the 60s and 70s, and the cherry blossoms started to bloom, and it was just really beautiful. And everybody's sort of out and about and excited about Congress. And they were like, if you want to go to the gallery, you can go to the gallery, but you can't bring your phone in, which understandable. And you know, you can sit up in the balcony and watch. And it was the day before the TikTok hearings, though I honestly don't think we would have been able to get in at that point. I'm sure that there were media and whatever was jammed in there. But the day that we got there, there were people, I mean, Congress is in session, and they were arguing about, honestly, like unclear what the main point that they were arguing about, like what it was, some bill kind of ostensibly about the one thing that Republicans like want to harp on, and every old person who does not live within, you know, 1,000 miles of the border wants to be scared of, is immigration. Like, it's like, oh, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, how does this affect you at all? Anyway, that's beside the point. They're arguing about immigration. I will say, for the only thing I'll say about the Republicans is their speakers were definitely more dynamic. Like, they were definitely more interesting. Now, everything they said was like a nasty nightmare, but like, it was definitely more compelling speakers. The guy, the Democrat, was from he was from Massachusetts somewhere. And Dave was like, oh yeah, I know who that guy is. The one good point he made is the Republicans were talking about, you know, and they kept saying illegal aliens, and I'm like, guys, don't you know that's not the words? We don't use those words anymore.
They do.
Yeah, they very clearly
for a
do.
Very specific reason.
Yeah, like, let's dehumanize these people. But they were like, they've killed, you know, talking about these like very specific stories of people that they've killed, like they murdered this person, they murdered this person. And the Democrat guy stood up and he was like, I'm sorry. You know, it's very sad that these people died, but y'all don't give a shit when children are massacred in school shootings. You don't give a shit about that. Like, you're not trying to stop that. And I was like, I'm like doing the Arsenio Hall, like whoop whoop and the things. I'm like, yeah. But it was cool. We were there about 30 minutes. And then at some point, it's like, all right, they're kind of doing the same things over and over again. But yeah, that was really fun. And then Wednesday, we went to the Spy Museum, which honestly is very cool. I really enjoyed it. The only like cheap part of me was that it's like the one fucking museum in DC that you have to pay for. And I was like, oh, I don't want to pay for this.
Because they know they got you over a barrel because everyone wants to go to the Spy Museum.
Yeah, it rules. Yeah, I was a little bit like, oh, I don't want to do this. But whatever, it was fine. I'm glad that we went. We had a good time. Again, I made Rory, after we were done with that, I made Rory walk and walk. We went through where the Smithsonian Castle is, and the cherry blossoms had really bloomed then. And then I was like, I'm going to walk you by something. We're not going to tour it, but I'm going to walk you by something I know you really want to see. And he was like, what is it? What is it? And I was like, I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to see it and you're going to know. And he was like, what is it? What is it? And then I was like, don't read the signs, because there's signs everywhere, like, you know, pointing to different historical features. And I was like, don't look, don't look. And then we got there. It was Ford's Theater. And he was like, oh my God, Ford's Theater. So it was exciting to watch him be so excited. And then we went out to my other cousin's house and spent some time with her. And then we left on Thursday. The one thing that I'm very proud of, and I feel very adultish, and this is the one thing I forced Dave to do, is I said before that the air conditioning wasn't really working. Now, go back to that. We came back to the hotel room and it still wasn't working. And I was like, you need to go downstairs. Cause like, I can't, it's getting warmer now. Like it's going to be in the 60s. Like I can't, we have to have air conditioning in here. So he went down. They're like, yeah, it's still not working. We're just going to move you up two floors, which is all fine and good. Except that's a pain in the ass. Like it's sort of annoying. It's fine. We did it, but it's just like, okay, we've already unpacked. My kids are disgusting in hotel rooms. And honestly, so is Dave. Like they just barf up all over the rooms. I'm like, why is your underwear over there? Like, I don't understand how that happened. I keep my stuff in like my little corner. It's all like tidy. Anyway, so we move all of our stuff up two floors. And then the next day, like housekeeping didn't come. And then there was another time that housekeeping didn't come, which again is fine, except like I stay in a hotel because I want housekeeping. Like that's kind of my primary reason of not staying in an Airbnb. Like I want to come in, the bed is made, I have new towels. I know that's not ecologically sound, but like that's just what I want.
Is it one of those places where you have to request it? Like they won't do it by default?
No. It's a request out, not a request in. Oh. Anyway, I know. And I saw the housekeepers all over the place. I was like, we didn't leave that late. We left at like, I guess if we had left at 9, it would, but we usually would leave that the hotel around 10. Anyway, so when we're checking out, originally we had planned to stay at my cousin's house and then she was going to take us to Dulles. Now, my cousin lives about 30 minutes away from Dulles, like closer in. She's in Virginia, but our flight left at 8:30 on Thursday a.m. And I was like, I feel really bad because I'm going to have to wake Kelly up at like 5:30 in the morning. And it's like a whole thing. And I feel sort of guilty about that. And that sort of stresses me out. I'm like, a part of me kind of wants to stay. We should have booked it. So we stayed on like at the airport, basically. Like we stayed at Dulles. And I looked and there was we were staying in a Marriott. And I looked and there was a Marriott on like the premises of Dulles. And I was like, Dave, I need you to channel my dad right now because my dad will complain about any hotel anywhere. If the remote control is not working, he will complain about it and ask for money off. And I was like, I need you to channel my dad. I understand that this is in my name, but like you need to either one get a lot, like we need to get a free night or we need to get something. And I was like, or better yet, they can give us a free night at the Dulles Marriott. And he was like, I don't know if I can do this because it's in your name. And I was like, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. You are my husband. You need to do this. And so it took a little bit of time, but we got a free room at the nice Dulles Marriott Hotel.
No.
Was not a great, it was fine. It was like where pilots stay. Like it's not like a nice hotel, but it was.
Pilots, gross.
I know, disgusting. but it was one of those hotels because I guess one, it was last minute. Two, it was just like, it's close in or whatever. It was like $400 a night. Like it was not a cheap hotel. Jeez. Anyway.
Wow.
I know, but we got it for free and then boarded our flight. The reason why Dulles sucks is there are the people movers, you know, like we only took it on our way out. But if you get off the plane at a certain gate, you have to go on these like Star Wars, like, trams, like they're not trains, they're like trams that move you from one part of the airport to the other. When right. I was a kid, I thought this was the coolest shit ever. As an adult, I'm like, this is inefficient. Why did you build your airport this way? And there's just like a lot of walking that goes on there. So we got there, you know, I don't know. We got there probably at 6:30 or something. And it was like, we only had 30 or 45 minutes to chill at our gate, which I know for a lot of people, that's like a lot of time, but it really, I don't know, it wasn't that much time. Anyway, all's well that ends well. It was a great trip. I feel like I've been blabbing. It was a great trip. I had a good time. I would say, don't listen to me, besides where Anne Louise took me about the food. There's a thing in the East Coast, and I told Dave this, and I think, I'm not counting like ethnic, but I'm not counting like a Mediterranean restaurant or like a sushi restaurant or whatever, but like, a lot of the food is really heavy there. Like that's, anytime I go to Boston or DC or whatever, I feel like the sort of default food to me is like really heavy, like not even heavy sauce. It's like Italian or whatever. So a lot of it, I was like, eh, it's fine. You know, it was one of those.
Maybe
like,
we're from the Midwest. You want to get talk heavy?
Yeah. I know. After you got it. I'm like, I always feel kind of like, I just want something like a little bit lighter. The one thing that I regret, and I, Meredith, I want you to try to do this, is the one place I really wanted to go is a place that Phil went when he went to DC. It's called Yellow. It's like a Mediterranean restaurant.
Yes.
But it's closed on Mondays. And that was the day we were in Georgetown. And I think there's another location. I just didn't seek it out. But I was like, oh, man, like I really wanted to try that. I'm the only one in the family. Yeah, there's one in Georgetown.
I looked at that because I've looked at all the places that he went. And I'm a little hesitant to do Middle Eastern food outside of Dearborn.
Oh, right. Well, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I need to.
It looks good to me. I definitely want to try that on my return trip, which will definitely come back. I mean, it's one of those things like I have so much family that lives out there. Oh, yeah. I was thinking, what did we do on Sunday night? We went out with my aunts and uncles. We saw a lot of family on this trip. But no, there's a lot. I mean, there's definitely more. I want to. Because I was with kids, it's like, okay, like let's go to this Italian restaurant or let's go to this burger place or whatever. And they're good. Like, it's not bad food. It just is like, after a while, I was like, I feel like heavy. Like, not heavy, like I feel fat. I just feel sort of like lethargic. Mm-hmm. If I were just on my own, I would think I would get a little bit more creative with it. So, yeah, that's DC in a large nutshell.
In a Brazil nutshell.
Yes, exactly.
Not a pistachio nutshell.
No, not a pistachio nutshell. Not at all.
I'm glad you had a good time. And I'm glad you had. Rory is like just so up for it.
He is. My muffin. I'm like, Rory, look, like when we were at the Capitol, we were eating. There was a burger place that's really good. Right now, I'm not remembering the name, but it's right by the Capitol. And we were finishing up and about to take the metro. And there are all these signs. And I was like, Rory, the Supreme Court's over there. And he was like, I want to go see it. And Bridget and Dave were like, we're good. And I was like, all right, will you wait for us? And they're like, yeah, we'll wait. And we're like, hyped it over there. And it was like, there it is. You know, it was really fun. It's very cool.
Two history nerds together.
Yeah. Nerds. Nerds. Yes. All right, who's next?
I think we should segue then into Meredith's DC prep.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to DC the first week of April for a few days for a conference for work. It's called.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah, I know. Think it was that soon. Next week, it's the week after. And it's AdvaMed, which is FDA's conference for medical device companies, which is exactly what I am. So. Very applicable to work and also very interesting and fascinating. And everybody, I'm sure, is going to want to hear all about the presentations that I'm going to have to sit through.
Absolutely.
But the fun part is that I'm staying at the Marriott that's like two blocks from the White House. Like it's on Pennsylvania Avenue. Like it's super duper close. That's where the conference is and that's where I'm staying. And it's going to be... very convenient, and I'm excited because it's still going to be cherry blossom time, I think.
Yeah,
I hope.
I think so. Yeah, you'll at least get the tail end of it.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
And it looks like every restaurant has like cherry blossom cocktails and meals, and like everything is going to be cherry blossom, and I got a pink dress to go along with it, but I'll get to that.
Ooh.
And so I'm flying out Monday morning, getting some Xanax from my psychiatrist first. It'll be fine. I'm landing at Dulles and taking the train in because the hotel's like literally right on the metro line.
Yeah.
It'll be super easy. But the prep is the thing that's consuming me right now. And part of that is I don't want to dress like a slob at a conference. Not that I really care what anyone else there thinks, but I don't want to stick out. And so I'm like, okay, I need to find some work clothes. And I went through all my work clothes and they're all from before the pandemic. Because I haven't worked in an office since 2019.
Like, I was going to say, it is like 5 years old almost at this point.
At least. And I'm like, I want something a little more up to date. But like, and I love going shopping for just like whatever, but I hate shopping for actual outfits. When I have to build an outfit, I'm like paralyzed. I can't do it. So what I did, and I've done this before, and this is so bougie, but Nordstrom has personal stylists.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
It's amazing. Don't have to pay anything extra. Yes. You just pay for the stuff that you buy. And so I made an appointment, and last Saturday I went and I tried on clothes for like 2.5 hours. Like forever.
Dang, woman.
Like she had this huge changing room and every wall in the changing room was covered in stuff to try on. And you know, ahead of time I like told her what the event was for and my sizes and all that stuff. And what, you know, what my budget was. I ended up spending a lot of money, but you know,
it's just why they do it.
It's why they do it. Works for everyone, I guess.
And but hey, you're a boss now, so you need some boss clothes.
That's right. Yeah. And I haven't bought any work clothes in years, so I'm like, whatever, it's fine. So it was really fun. I got two cute outfits. Both of the pants are like boot cut, which I'm like, okay, this is back, huh?
Yep.
I loved a boot cut.
Yeah. It works.
For my body. People like me who are hippie.
Yeah.
You need a little something wider on the bottom to balance
out. Yep. So I'm really glad that's back because it's a better cut on me than skinny jeans, I think.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of cute outfits and then I was like, I might be going to a nice dinner. So I'll get a dress. And I wasn't planning this, but I got like a pink cherry blossom ish kind of dress. And I actually tried on two and I liked them both. And I didn't realize until I opened the bag that she sent them both. Like I bought them both. well, okay. I ended up with like a sweater that I liked, even though it's not really part of the outfits. And
that's what happens. So
she made out like a bandit, but it was really fun.
Hey, I have a question for you because I do that. Like I try to do it like once a year. Like I do it whatever in the fall to like I'm going to school, like I need new fall clothes, and I you know I set myself a budget and I always go over it. I'm always like, do I tip them? But I think they make a percentage.
I never have. I've done this a whole bunch and I've never tipped because they make commission off of it
and they make like a higher commission than a normal salesperson, I think. And they've got usually, honestly, I've had three different people. They're always changing. I'm sure they're always like leaving their job. And each time I've gotten good stuff, like really good stuff.
Yeah. And I think for me, the appeal is like she picked out stuff that I wouldn't have picked out, but ended up looking good and that I liked. Alone was worth it. And then minus the stress of me running around being like, oh no, now I need to get different shoes. Oh, that doesn't work with that. Or blah, 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 blah. So
yeah.
Consult a professional. Highly recommend. Yep. It was easy and it didn't cost anything extra other than a whole lot of clothes.
I guess that was, I mean, I've never done like a personal shopping service, but I guess my tendency as an introverted person going out in the world is to just like keep to myself when I'm in stores and be like, I'm fine. I don't need help or whatever. But learning that lesson to be like, let the salesperson use their expertise to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's invaluable.
It totally is.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there's certain stores where we'll say it's a very transitory stop for a lot of people. Like, so maybe they don't have that kind of knowledge. I don't know. Like, do people work at Foot Locker for longer than 6 months? I don't know. So. You know what I mean? Like fast casual places sometimes. Yeah. It's maybe young people who are just kind of passing through.
Yes.
But if you get somewhere where somebody has knowledge and longevity, that's really helpful.
Yep. Yeah, totally. Agree.
So that was great. And I've got clothes figured out, like totally sorted. I don't need to even pack anything other than like pajamas in addition to what she picked out. I did This wasn't exactly for DC, but I also did a keratin treatment last week at my salon, which is a huge ordeal. But for somebody with frizzy hair, it's something that I've been doing in the spring to kind of like make my hair a little bit more manageable. And it just makes it quicker to dry and easier to style. So I did that last week and I haven't been doing my nails, but I really want to get a manicure and a pedicure before I go and just like feel like a fancy bitch on the plane.
You're like, excuse me. You have your talons out. You're like,
well, yeah. And I have my, I've got my Delta card now and I'm like gonna, I'm gonna get to the airport and go to the lounge. Like, I'm very excited about this. So I'm trying to make.
People are gonna look at you and be like, man, that is one fancy broad.
Oh, that lady's definitely going to conference in Washington, D.C.
When we were there, the place we stayed was actually near the convention center and the, first couple of days we were there, we were like, wow, there are a lot of weird people staying in this hotel. And it was because there was, it was Awesome Con, which I guess is the DC Comic Con kind of thing. And it was like, why is everybody so dressed up? Like, I don't know what's going on right now. A lot of, what's the lady from like the Suicide Squad?
Harley Quinn.
A lot of Harley Quinns.
This is going to be a lot of nerds. This is going to be a nerd convention. Every conference
different kind of nerd.
Is just
an Awesome Con.
Yeah. This is a different kind of nerd. This is the kind of nerd that wears pocket protectors and stuff. So we'll all have our TA-83s in our pockets.
You're like, I'm just coding a new game. Don't worry about it.
Yep. So I'm very excited. I've planned out a couple places I want to eat. There's a Texas barbecue place that apparently is kind of legit. So I'm like, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that for lunch one day. There's a fried chicken place I want to go to. And then there's like a dinner place too that I've picked out. So I'm very excited. It's only going to be like 3 days, but I think it'll
You'll have fun.
Yep.
Anne, please tell me about this. Like, was a soothing sentence to read, but your magical day of productivity or phrase. I love those days.
I want to start by saying it's not like I'm an unproductive person. No. I'm just productive at the normal stuff, the normal tasks of life. Like, I do the cleaning and the laundry and the shopping and the dishes and all that stuff. But for some time, I've lacked the motivation to do all the weird stuff that builds up the non-regular chore things. Like, I don't know. And I've been trying to not live my life by the list so much. Yeah. And it was always, you know, something needs to get done. You put it on the list. You do the thing and you cross it off the list. And it's so much pressure and it's not very fun. And it's one of the things that my therapist really has been working on, you know, to be like saying goodbye to the list. Like, it's okay if this stuff doesn't get done. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Are you gonna die? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. But we've made so much progress that like this stuff piled up. Like, for example, when my dad died, my mom gave me his printer, which is this massive printer, scanner, copier, fax deal. And I've never been able to get it to hook up with my computer. I don't remember why. I think it was drivers. It's always drivers with printers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So this printer has been sitting on the floor in this room for the intervening time. My dad died 4 years ago, guys.
Yeah.
This printer has been sitting here, and I have done nothing with it. So for whatever reason, I got bit by the productivity bug. And I took last Thursday and Friday off of work, and I did just about everything.
Ah, feels so good.
I have a list that I'd like to share of the things that I did.
Yes, please.
Number one, I rearranged all my bedroom furniture in preparation for getting a new bed that I've been talking about, just to make sure that everything will fit before I go out and buy things to make this happen, which it will. Then, since I was doing that, I thought, you know what? I haven't gone through my closet in forever talking about clothes. And I went through all of my clothes, and 2/3 of them were not suitable any longer. And I think...
That's a lot, man.
Yeah. I took 3 brown paper grocery bags to Goodwill and 5 big white trash bags to the dump because these clothes were not fit for anybody. Then I thought, well, as long as I'm going to the Goodwill, and I went through all my decor. You know, you work at a gift store for 2 decades. You kind of pick some things up and people give you gifts and whatever. And I went through all of that and I cleared it all out and I boxed it up and I boxed up all my DVDs and I took all of that to Goodwill. So all gone.
Wow.
I swept the garage. I did a dusting deep clean. I took that printer to electronics recycling.
Good. Yes.
I went to Office Max and bought a plastic mat for my chair, my office chair to sit on. Again, been working from home for 4 years. I've been rolling this chair around on carpet.
I need
the whole
one of those
time.
I'm ruining my wood floor with my chair.
I know, it's terrible. And I did my taxes.
Wow.
So, like, the sense of accomplishment. I just need to share.
Yeah, no,
everybody.
It feels really good.
That's amazing. That's so much stuff. I would die of tiredness after that.
Well, the thing was, it didn't even really take that long. The clothes did. The clothes took a couple of hours to do. But the rest of it was just a matter of getting the motivation to do it and having a plan and executing the plan. Execute the plan.
But dusting is so horrible.
Oh, I know, and that's why I don't do it. It's because I remain firmly convinced that if I just change the furnace filter regularly, I don't have to dust.
That's right.
This is one of the reasons why, like, one of the main reasons I have a housekeeper, because I'm like, I don't want to dust. I don't mind picking up. I don't want to dust. I hate dusting.
I hate dusting. Like, I don't mind vacuuming at all.
No.
I mean, I hate cleaning the bathroom, but the necessity of it drives me to do it.
Yeah.
And likewise with cleaning the kitchen. But the dusting, you know.
Lifting up shit to dust under it.
Yep. Well, it dovetailed very well with the getting rid of the decor and collectibles. Because once I cleaned that out, I'm like, well, there's so much less here.
Yeah.
Let's just... Now it's only the stuff that I really like. And the stuff that my mom... gave me when she was in her purging cycles and that I feel sort of emotionally attached to and I don't want to get rid of yet. My mom always says when she dies she doesn't want there to be anything left for us kids to have to take. Like, she'll be sitting in an empty house by the time by the end.
I mean,
which just means that, you know, you get your pick earlier.
Yes.
I guess. But now the only thing that I have remaining on the list was to fix the hole in my kitchen wall from when did my little DIY electrical work that had to be removed.
Oops.
And that's fine. I can do that. That's just a little bit more. Because, you know, I got to go to Home Depot and get a patch and do the drywall and the sanding.
It's like a multi-step project, which entails leaving the house first.
And it's a lot of mess and a lot of, like, I don't know. Right now, the food processor is sitting in front of the hole, so it's fine.
It's fine. It works.
I don't see it that much. So that was... my magical day of productivity, and I'll just go right into my next one, which is sort of a corollary from that, which I titled The Perils of Rearranging Your Furniture.
Oh, no.
Which I'm referring to my bedroom that I said we had to rearrange just to make sure that the future plans will work. And so I ended up rotating my bed 90 degrees so that it's up against another wall. And in the process of that, it just worked out that it would be better if I shifted from sleeping on the left side of the bed to the right side of the bed.
Oh.
Right? Man, and I said, well, I guess I'm a right side sleeper now.
That's a big deal.
Let me tell you, that lasted 1.5 days.
No, it's like, I don't like this.
I had 1.5 of the worst nights of sleep that I've ever had. And it was necessitated because the room isn't a perfect rectangle. There's a little cutout, like, I don't know, like it's Utah or something. Doesn't Utah have a little, like, square cutout of the, like, northeast corner or something?
Yes,
My room is like that. There's just a little corner cutout. And so it's just kind of awkward for the big hand-me-down nightstand to be on that side of the room. So I had to go on the other side of the room. It's whatever, right? Logistics. So I was like, I can do this. I'm a side sleeper. I sleep on either side. So I didn't think it would be a big deal. but it was because my body just knew.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
That this wasn't right.
Yep.
And in the middle of
your left hand.
Yeah. In the middle of the second night, I eventually was like, okay, we're going to be a middle sleeper for this night, which I don't know why I don't do that anyway. I'm the only one who sleeps in the bed. I can have the whole thing if I want. So I was able to make it through the night in the middle of the bed. And then the next day, I just shifted the stuff around. And I You're was like, no.
I can't do this.
We're going back to this. No. Yeah. I like, we all have our sides, right? I assume that's a very like important negotiation part of a relationship. Like if you're the same side sleeper as your partner or the person who may become your partner, how do you resolve that?
I don't. Paper, scissor.
Yeah.
I guess. Like who has the power in this relationship? Who gets to call, that's my side, not your side anymore? I don't know. So it was really eye-opening. And also very funny because I'm not used to the new bedroom setup yet, as I found out 2 nights ago. Uh-oh. And I got up at like 4:30 to go to the bathroom. Yeah. And I followed the old walking pattern around the bed and ran right into the wall.
Oh, it's the worst because you're like, don't wake up. Just keep
your eyes closed. Yeah, because I used to have to do let's call it a backwards J around the bed to get to the door. And now it's a straight shot to the door. But I still did the backwards J and walked into the wall.
Your body keeps the score. It knows.
Honestly, I thought I was awake. Like, I was even conscious when I did this.
I'm always right side of the bed facing the bed. Like, that's always where I am.
Sure.
I would have a problem on the other side.
I can sleep on either side, and that's just evolved from having back issues. Like I need to have a second position, and I can't sleep on my stomach anymore, and I can't sleep on my back anymore. So I gotta have the two sides available.
Yes. Yeah.
But Anne, you can sleep in the middle of the bed if you wanted.
Exactly. Why don't I? You know why I don't, though? It's because of the nightstand. And because I do have a clock still on the nightstand, and my eyesight is bad enough that if I'm in the middle of the bed, I can't see the clock from there, and I can't reach the phone.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
I need to be able to reach the other tissues. I have my bed tissues, and I have my nightstand tissues, and I need to be able to reach them at any point.
I can't reach my ancient hand-me-down lamp that hopefully will also be replaced in the coming days. So that's what I'm dealing with here. It's a nightmare. A nightmare, I tell you.
It is. Meredith, why is Wonky becoming Gandhi?
Good question. Wonky's on a hunger strike, although I think it ended today. So Wonky's 18 years old-ish, somewhere around there. You know,
amazing.
Yeah, she's doing great as far as like her health goes, but at her last checkup a month or two ago, she had lost a little bit of weight, and the doctor was like, she's got hyperthyroidism, which makes them lose weight if they're not well controlled. And so she's like, well, let's keep an eye on it. So I have a baby scale at home, of course. Ooh. I do, to weigh them. And I had to weigh her periodically to see, and she was always like within a half an ounce of 8 pounds in between that appointment and a month later when the vet said she wanted an update. So I was like, okay, she at that point had decided she didn't like Fancy Feast anymore. And I'm like, I think she's losing weight just because she's not eating. She will not eat her Fancy Feast, but she will eat churu treats, those like, you know, cat go-gurt treats, those disgusting squeezy treat things. She loves those, and she loves greenies. And the vet said to me, grandma can have ice cream for breakfast, it's fine.
Heck yeah.
And I was like, awesome. Okay. So I started just giving her whatever she wanted to eat, and I found a new kind of food, which of course was very expensive, that she really liked. And I bought a whole bunch of it, and of course just like 3 or 4 days ago she was like, nah, not into it.
Oh,
and honestly, I'm
like,
I'm getting shades of Ira Glass here. Exactly. When is the kangaroo meat?
I'm going to have to go get kangaroo meat flown in from Australia or whatever. So today I went to Target, did my regular Target stuff, and got every piece of garbage food I could find that she might like. She likes the gravy kind because she likes to just eat the gravy and leave the bits. So I'm like, whatever. The vet said you could do it. So we'll haven't tried those yet because Gregory fed her dinner tonight and she ate like most of it and she ate her medicine. She hadn't been eating her medicine either. So I was getting scared because like she's definitely going to start losing weight if she's not taking her thyroid pill.
Yeah.
But she actually took it today. And so I got her like Sheba and I got her different kinds of Fancy Feast, like two different kinds of Fancy Feast. And we'll see if she actually is eating those. But it's like stressing me out because she had a little bit of a stuffy nose. Like she was breathing loud last week. And I took her into the vet on Monday and the vet was like, this is just a stuffy nose. Like I was like, oh, she's dying. She's got congestive heart failure. Her lungs are, her heart is failing. She's like, nah, she just has a stuffy nose. So she's been on antibiotics, but she won't take her antibiotic. And I can't pill her. She's like crafty enough to push it out of her mouth or she'll like pretend to take it and then spit it out. She's just too crafty. So I've been worried about her, but today she took her pill and she ate most of her food. And she'll eat churu and greenies. So I don't know what's going on. I think she's just being a bitch.
So do the other cats have any knowledge that she's getting special treatment?
So the way that they get fed is Bear and Little Man eat in the kitchen because they're just like savages and they don't care. Link eats in the downstairs bathroom with the door shut because he eats in like 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, he's like, Bruce.
Yeah, when I had dogs, like, he would eat his food and then he would go stand. Remember Molly was, like, 75 pounds? He would stand between her front legs and eat out of her bowl while she was eating and, like, try to finish her food. Like, he'll eat everybody else's food. So he has to be locked up like Hannibal Lecter to eat his food. And then Wonka eats on the basement landing outside of that bathroom door with the, also the door shut so the other guys can't take her food because she eats the slowest. So it's always like, everybody's done. I know Link is done because I can hear him like screaming from within the bathroom. And then the other two are done. And so I have to just like wait and wait and wait and check and check and check and open the door a tiny crack to see if Wonky's done. And when she's finally done, then Little Man gets to eat whatever she didn't eat. So they don't. She always eats her churu, so they don't realize that she's getting that. I just put it in her bowl and mix in her medicine with it. So they don't know. They're not that smart, which is, works in my favor.
This is so complicated.
It's so complicated. You should see the instructions I have for my pet sitter are a full page, and I don't feel like I can cut any of it out. Every time I print them out, I'm like, is this too much? Like, can I narrow this down? And I just can't. I just can't.
You're like, sorry, you're going to need to follow it step by step.
Yep. But actually, like, when it comes down to it, I'm like, I don't care as long as they all eat something. Like, whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah. So you're like, I'm just giving you best practices.
This is what I do. Do what works for you is what I tell her. Yes. But she's been taking care of them long enough that she knows. So she's a champ. And she I always tip her nuances. Very well.
Yeah. all right. My next two I'll bang out really quickly. These last two. I just want to say that after this is how I can tell I'm getting older. Like in general, I would say I think I mentally feel about 33. Like I feel like I'm an adult, but like I'm a young adult, right? Like I'm not like a middle-aged adult, but when I feel very
33,
middle,
you're all of 33.
I am all of 33.
You're
old.
So young. Well, your boobs are definitely 33.
Yes, absolutely. but like I, you know, I whatever. I don't feel so like old all the time. Whatever. I don't feel 45, whatever that means. But I do when I get home from a trip, whatever trip it is, if it's a girls' weekend or if it's a trip with my family, it's like I've been hit by a bus and I just need to go home and stare at a wall for like many, many hours / days. Like we got home Thursday, which I was so, I mean, it was an early wake up, but I'm so happy that we got home around noon on Thursday and I'd obviously taken Friday off. So like all day Thursday, I just shoved the kids' stuff in the laundry and we started ours and unpacked and all that stuff. And then I was just like, I can't do anything. Like my body is, I'm exhausted right now. Like I can't make decisions. I can't, like, I don't care what's for dinner. I'll order groceries later. Like, I can't do anything. I'm so tired and I'm very thankful I had that whole kind of long weekend because otherwise if I had to go back to work the next day, I would have cried because I was exhausted. I was just, and I really wasn't back to speed until like Wednesday. Like, I really, then I was like, okay, I kind of feel like back in the grind of like my normal routine. I think also the older I get, the more I recognize how much a routine like is very stabilizing to me, both physically and mentally. Like, that is just something I grasp onto. And when I was younger, I was like, I liked routine, but I didn't notice it as much. And now I'm like, am I on the spectrum? Because I like have to do things, and probably yes, but like I have to do things like in the same order. You know, we've talked about it, or like getting ready or going to bed routines or whatever. Like, I have to do something in the same order. Even at work, it's like I get my coffee at this time, and then I have fill up my water at this time, and then I have my snack at this time, and it's all very like at this time, just because it's like it's something to rely on, because nothing else in this world you can like rely on. But my schedule, I can rely on. It makes me feel safe. So I love going on vacation, but it really throws me out of whack. It's both exhausting and sort of destabilizing for me. So yeah, for like 4 days, I basically went and did Pilates and stared at a wall. Like, that's all I did. I didn't want to, and that I was like, great. I didn't want to go to a restaurant. The thing I love to do is like, one, not make dinner for my family, and two, have whatever they call it, girl dinner or whatever, like by myself.
Oh yeah.
Standing up at my counter. I don't know why. Like, I don't even want to sit down. I just want to stand up and I like read a magazine and eat whatever bullshit that I put together. And I'm like, don't anybody talk to me about it. Sometimes on a paper plate so I don't have to wash it off. And I can just throw it away.
That's what I usually do during the day when I'm just home alone. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to graze all day on random whatever. And who knows if I got a complete meal out of any of it.
I know. It's like, I don't know. What did you eat? I don't know. Like, I had some turkey and a tortilla,
olives,
I think.
And like, I don't know.
I think we're all just so much more elastic when we're younger, which is a way of saying we're all getting less flexible as we age, not just in our bodies, which is true, but I think also like in our brain and our emotions, which is not good or bad. It's just a thing that happened. You're less flexible, less adaptable to changes in your life. And to all the young people out there listening to our show, and I know there are many thousands of them. You roll your eyes and scoff. It's coming for you. You think to yourself, I'll never be like that. I'm never going to be old.
You will.
I hate to tell you this, but you will.
Oh, I thought
it's
I wouldn't either.
Inevitable.
But guess what?
You don't think that I was like, oh, fun. Yeah, like it's 10 o'clock. Like, let's go to a bar when I was 23 years old. Of course I was. I loved that. I thought that was so fun. Now I'm like, I went to go see the Indigo Girls and it was on a Sunday night, and I thought I was going to die on Monday. I was like, I literally might die. Like, I think, and it wasn't like I was like hungover or whatever. I was just like, I'm so tired. I think I'm going to die. Like, I think this is it for me. I can't do things on school nights. Yeah. So we've all said it before, and I don't always do it because I'm stupid and I feel like I have to work, and you know, it's the capitalist nature in me, the pressures of capitalism, but just take that fucking day off. Like, almost everybody has enough PTO. Like, take the day off after you get home. Nobody's going to miss you that badly. I'm not a doctor. I work in commercial real estate. There's not really an emergency that is going to happen. There are perceived emergencies, but none of them are real. Like, they're all bullshit. Right.
And nobody's going to judge you. No. And if they do, fuck them.
Fuck them. Exactly. Like, you can think that, but I have PTO. I'm taking this. Goodbye. Anyway, but it's the ongoing take the day off after you get back. And the last thing I'll say is, Bridget, who, you know, I there's a fine line of like talking about my kids on this show. I need to probably ask for permission more, but she is very excited about this, so I will talk about it. She made her middle school cheer team, which Dave and I were like, wait, what? Like, I will give her credit for this. She fully did this on her own. Like, I didn't help her. I didn't even really know it was going to happen until like it was happening. She was like, oh, I have cheer tryouts after school. And I'm like, wait, what? Okay. And she had practiced and learned the routine on her own. Dave did say during it, like while she was trying out, like, he's like, I'm a little bit nervous, you know? And I was like, you know, this is fine. She's putting herself out. I'm proud of her because I really wouldn't have done that. Like, I would have been too nervous, and you know, girls are smaller, you know, better at dance or gymnastics than I am. I'm not going to try out. But she really puts herself out there, and she has a lot of confidence, and she's really outgoing, and that works in her favor. But also Dave was like, you know, she hasn't taken dance or gymnastics in a really long time, like since she was in first grade or something. Then he was like, maybe it's all the dance moms watching. Maybe that's what's going to help her. She maybe loves
the TikTok dances.
Probably. Probably. I'm sure she's better at memorizing stuff. I feel like kids these days are better. That was always my problem. I was an okay dancer. If you show me an eight count, I'm like, okay, I got that. If you show me another eight count, I'm like, wait, what? There's more to this. I didn't know. So yes, Bridget is a cheerleader. I went to the cheer parent meeting last night, and it was fine. It wasn't, although it was a fair amount of practice. I know. Should I? Christy said she was going to get me a shirt that says, like, she's cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers. Hashtag cheer mom. And I was like, I kind of want that, but I will not. You know, and she does softball, and there are moms, and we need moms like this. I'm just not this mom. There are moms that wear softball gear, not like softball uniforms, but like softball mom, or like softball earrings, you know, like little dangling softballs. And I'm like, that's just not me. That's not me. The most I'll do is like, I'm wearing a workout outfit because I've just come from working out. And I'm like, hey, I'm sporty, I guess. So yeah, I've got a cheerleader on my hands. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Dance mom.
So what's the fundraising like for cheer?
Yeah. Well, I got an email. They told us yesterday, it was like, and get ready guys, because I'm going to send it to you. You have absolutely no obligation to actually do this, but there's a Snap Raise fundraiser sign up, and you're supposed to send it to at least 10 to 20 of your friends and family to raise funds. There's also a splash day of some sort that I don't really understand, but I guess whatever. This is one of those things. This is me as a parent. I'm like, just tell me what to do and where to be. Like, I'm not the kind of mom that's going to really volunteer for a ton of stuff, but I will always give money. I will always give money. If that's the case, I will happily give money. If it's volunteering or give money, I will give money. So we'll see. We'll see how it all works.
I just gave a whole bunch of money to the Greenville High School Boys Track and Field Program fundraiser because my nephew is in track, and it was like, can I sign you up for texts and for this thing? And I'm like, oh my God, fine.
Oh my God.
So now I get like weekly updates on the Greenville High.
You're like,
track
great.
And field. Like, so thanks, excited. Guys. Take my $125 and leave me alone.
You're like, my nephews are 6 and 4, yeah. And I doubt they'll be athletes. So,
God, they're gonna try to make them play basketball, and they're gonna be like, "No, we don't do that." Because I feel like with every tall person, they're like, "You play basketball, right?" And they're like,
"Oh, believe me, I know."
Yeah. Hey, guess what? I'm too uncoordinated. That's why I played volleyball for one semester.
Yeah, we're just a joiner, so we'll see how this all plays out.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, no, it is good. I'm impressed with her, I don't know, her, like, go-get-it-ness, because I really wasn't that, but, you know.
Does she have friends on the team? Like, is that why
she
did it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. She has, like, a whole little crew of people. I did meet some moms. It's a side tangent, but it's weird, because with elementary school, like, I knew a lot of the parents, because you're just a little bit more involved, and the kids are little, so you're like, there's a play date, or whatever, you kind of know the parents a little bit better. With middle school, a lot of the kids, especially the ones that she has become friends with, didn't go to her elementary school, so, like, she'll be going to somebody's house, I'm like, texting with this anonymous person, I'm like, hi, I'm Hillary Butler, you know, Bridget's coming over to play, or whatever, and it's weird. And I like everybody I've met. It's just sort of weird because I don't really know these kids as much. But I met some moms last night, and some that I knew fairly well. And they all seem nice and, like, a little bit similarly to me. Like, I don't know. You know, like, we'll just see what happens. They're not, like, very intense, you know. That Texas cheerleader, whatever. Oh. You know, the mom that killed the... Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's not. I don't
well,
think
it's only middle school.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Exactly. Though I've seen softball and baseball parents for like 9-year-olds that are psychotic. Like, I was like, this is intense. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Anyway. All right. Anne, who has brain damage?
I do.
Oh,
don't.
No, you don't.
Well, I just titled this, so that's why she has brain damage. This has just been sort of an interesting thing that's been happening. We, and when I say we, I mean my HOA, was contacted by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And I don't know why they decided to do this, but when this property was developed, which was like in the early 90s, apparently it had previously housed a commercial dry cleaner and a gas station. Ooh. And so at the time, they did all kinds of pollution testing to make sure there were no contaminants in the ground, did whatever they had to do to mitigate that. And now, 25, 30 years on, there's new technology called vapor barrier testing or something like that. And they said, look, we don't have any reason to believe that you have any contaminants in your soil. It's just that we have this new technology. So why don't we use it and just come back in and see if there's anything that we need to take care of? And we're like, okay. And so these people came in yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, and they put two vapor wells in my floor, one in the utility room and one in the garage, like they had to drill into the concrete to put it in. Vapor and so it's well. These, that's yeah, cool. It's these little containers that go down into the floor, and then there's a cap on them. And so for whatever unspecified, well, it's a week in this case to start with, it just sits there, and they'll come back next week and take it out and send it to a lab and analyze it and see what kind of vapors, if any, have seeped in to the wells and in what concentration. Hmm. And so I thought that was really kind of interesting. Yeah. And we'll see what happens. But it's been very helpful because I've said before that I've been deliberating redoing my floors. These carpets are starting to look pretty worn. Maybe putting in hardwood floors. And the linoleum is just like the guys yesterday were like, okay, so we're just going to cut up a square of this linoleum and drill down. And when we're done, we'll be very careful and glue the linoleum back down. And so you'll never even know there was anything there in the first place. And I was like, listen, there is nothing you could do to this linoleum that would upset me at this point. It's so gross. So bad. So, but it helped me because I think I read somewhere in their presentation that they could do this for up to a year in intervals just to come back to check. And I'm like, that's very helpful because now that means that I can push the carpeting and the flooring out for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have a kind of timetable because mm-hmm. I was feeling sort of panicked because I don't know, like, I've never gotten a new floor. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go.
I don't. That's very stressful to me. I don't know.
Yep. I know that I don't want actual wood, but I don't want really fake looking wood products. And yeah. I haven't done a ton of research yet. And I don't know. I don't really like tile because it's cold.
Yeah, I have it. And I have
like wood-ish things that look really nice.
Wood-ish things. Yeah. But Hillary, you live in Texas. Well, so tile flooring makes a little bit more sense than Minnesota when it's 4 degrees.
100%. And I don't, like, if I had my druthers, I would not have tile flooring. I would have hardwood or whatever version of it because it's cold in the morning, even if it's like it. I always have to wear like flip-flops or something downstairs because it just is like so cold. And if there's anything on it, you just like, I hate that feeling of like any dirt or whatever on there. It just makes me, the amount of times I've gone like barefoot on my tile floors is very few times, like really a couple times a year. It's not, I don't do that. I think it's gross. But the problem with tile is when you dig it up, and you can do it, but when you dig it up, it like it is. Talk about dust! Like apparently, it's like you're like never gonna. It's always gonna be there. It's always and it's all over our bottom floor. So yeah,
I had my kitchen tile replaced like I don't know 6 months after moving into this house because it was brand new and they installed it very badly, so it was like popping out. Like, the grout was coming up and the tiles were moving. And I already hated the tile to begin with. So I was like, all right, we're just going to rip this up. But it was a huge ordeal. Like, it took a lot of time. And they had to obviously move all the appliances and get under the they had to put new molding in. It was just a, yeah, it was a whole thing. And it was very, very, yeah. very dusty.
Honestly, the thing that's holding me back the most, other than the thought of like having to pack up all my books and move the furniture around and all of that crap, is the idea of the utility room. And it's like, how do they deal with the furnace and the water heater and all? I mean, they're professionals, right? They have a way to do it. They know how to do it. I don't. But it's just sort of, it makes me anxious yeah. enough to think about it yeah. that I'm just like, I don't wanna.
When it doesn't like immediately make sense to you, you're like, how do they do it? Again, I know people specialize in things that I don't specialize right. in. But like, yeah, it's just as...
I'm thinking, oh, well, they're going to have to move the laundry unit out of there, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It's all icky. Well, I don't know about tile in the kitchen. I think since my house is open concept-y, it makes more sense to just have a whole flow of the same yeah. material
yeah. Yeah.
rather than yeah. doing like a tile in the kitchen. But then I don't want hardwood in the kitchen because water. What if the dishwasher leaks yep. and all that
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I might just do something different in the bathrooms. I don't know. I don't like being a grown up.
I have tile in the kitchen and the bathrooms and I have wood everywhere else and it works great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want somebody to make
decisions. I know. I'm making it a much bigger deal than it is. Which is why this vapor sampling has been a gift, because it allows me to put the decision off for an unspecified amount of time.
Thanks, contaminants.
Yeah, so apart from the fact that I may be slowly being poisoned by the contaminants in my soil, this has turned out to be a great thing. I'm not worried, actually. I'm really not worried about it.
No.
I think it's cool for the pollution yeah. control agency just to come back on their own initiative, and I'm not paying for anything.
So. No, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. So give me peace of mind.
Exactly. All right. Have we run out of small talk? Maybe.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we did a good job.
We did. You know me. I could probably keep going. Actually, there's a new, I haven't listened to it, but there's a new book by Casey Wilson. It's about like mastering small talk. And I'm like, I have to listen
oh,
to
God.
That.
Oh, I need that. I'm so well,
when you're as funny as Casey Wilson, yes. it's kind of a different thing.
Yeah, exactly. She's a professional. Anyway, whatever. Okay, question of the week. We want y'all to take the quiz that we took, the Cosmos Persona Test. We'll post the link and
yep.
tell us your results. I want to see a wider variety. I want to see what... Because it's like the percentages are so small, there has to be so many versions.
There has to be one more common
unless
one.
They're just yeah. lying like, about the percentages.
Like how special you are.
Mm. Yeah. You're like, ooh, I'm only 3%.
But that's how the MBTI, the Myers-Briggs, worked as well. Yeah. Like ours, Meredith, that was like 1.6% of the population. And then there were others that were like 22% of yeah. the population. The ones that are extroverted.
So let us yeah. know if you're common.
Yeah.
Because we're not.
Let us know if society was built for you.
Yeah. It wasn't for us. All right. I'm going to go to Tishy Recommends. Okay. This is something that, like, I can't believe it took me so long to watch this. But, you know, sometimes you're like, there's something that's out there that you're like, I know I'm going to like it. I just don't have the energy to watch it right now because I know mm-hmm. I'm going to then devote, like, myself to watching it a lot. Well, there's a show called Girls 5 Eva that I was
I've
like,
heard of this.
I was like, God, I should watch this. It's with my doppelganger, Busy Phillips, but it's also created by like, it's Tina Fey's umbrella kind of stuff. And I was like, I feel like I should watch this. This is about like a pop girl group from the late 90s, early 2000s. So I'm like, hello, this was made for me. And it's starring Renee Elise Goldsberry from Hamilton. So I'm like, hello, sure. this is like made for me.
Is Paula Pell involved with this?
Yes.
I feel like I've seen her on the talk show circuit lately.
She's one of the members, but it's sort of like a funny, like, whatever. Yes, she is one of the members of Girls 5 Eva. But anyway, so yeah, they're like this. It premiered on Peacock like in 2000, like in 21 or something. Like, and it, I just wasn't in a place that maybe we didn't have Peacock or whatever. I was just like, I can't get there just yet. I can't watch it right now. And then they had another season and everybody was like, it's so funny. Like people just aren't watching it because it's on Peacock and it's going to get canceled and that sucks. And maybe it got canceled, but then Netflix picked it up. And so then they made a third season. So all the seasons are on Netflix. And unfortunately for Peacock, it's just a lot easier to watch stuff on Netflix than it is on sure. Peacock. But so that when I was doing my staring at a wall weekend, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start watching this, and it is really funny. Now, I will say, in classic like 30 Rock form, it is both hilarious, but as the season, I'm almost done with the second season. As the season goes on, you know, with 30 Rock, it started to get like way wackier, where you're like, what's mm-hmm. going on? Like, it's mm-hmm. there's like nothing based in reality, really. Like, you're, it's like funny, but you're kind of like, what's going on? This is bizarre.
It's almost like farce at some point.
Yes, where it's like, this is kind of ridiculous. But the jokes are hilarious. If you were like around the late 90s, 2000s, when boy bands and girl bands were like doing their thing, it is really, some of the jokes are, you're just like, oh my god, this is so on point. And it's like, you know, they all dated Carson, what's his face,
Carson Daly
at some point. And you know, they all were like, you know, very sexy, but also like Christians saving themselves, basically. It's really, really funny. Now, I have to say, my doppelganger,
so like almost every boy band ever.
Yes I have to say, my there was an episode with her that I did find very funny, but she does look a lot like me, or I look a lot like Busy Phillips, but I don't think she's that good of an actress. She plays a certain part that she's supposed to be mm-hmm. sort of the airhead, that sometimes I'm like, okay, you're doing it too much. Like, it's like going a little bit too extreme airhead, but it's regardless, it's really funny. Renee Elise Goldsberry, when you watch it, please also look up how old she is, because you're like, I cannot believe this woman is this age. And it's not like a plastic surgery thing. It's just that she like looks so much younger than she actually is. When I told Dave how old she was, he was like, what? Also, what are the other? I mean, it's just a really funny show. Oh, I know. This is somebody who I have always liked her music, but it's not like I've never purchased an album, but man, Sarah Bareilles has a lovely voice. I like just
sure
like enjoy right. listening to her voice. Like, and she sings obviously a lot in this, and all of them have nice voices, but she just has this voice that you're like captivated by, and it's unique. You know, it's not Broadway-ish really, and it's pop based, but it's also sort of singer songwritery. Anyway, it's fantastic. So yeah, Girls Five Out. It's on Netflix.
What a terrible name, though.
I know, it is. I mean, when you watch it, you kind of start getting into, you're like, okay, like, I get why it's named this. But I think that was another thing. I was like, that's such a stupid name. Like, it's kind of a...
But that was the point. Yes. They were all, like, S Club 7.
Exactly. And Sugar Babes.
All that stuff. Oh, it was all horrifyingly bad.
So bad. I mean, even if you think of NSYNC, which sadly, if I type out NSYNC on my phone, and I wonder if this is for everybody or just me, if I'm texting something, like, did you see the NSYNC reunion? My thing, I'm not putting like star in sync or wherever the star goes. My messaging will autocorrect to how in sync the band is spelled.
It knows.
It knows.
It knows. I mean, all that stuff is just stupid. Like, there will come a day when we look back at all the K-pop groups you know, Blackpink and all that. It's just stupid. It's just random words.
Yes, it is.
Put together.
Like, put it together. And there's some marketing firm that was like, yes, this will sell.
Yep.
All right,
Anne. It's all for horny kids. Yes, yes, I do. I want to tell everybody how to get involved with the show at thisshowhaseverything.com, which is where you can find our episodes on the interwebs. You can come visit our Facebook group, where you can answer the question of the week and take the Cosmos Persona test,
please.
Which is honestly so well worth 5 minutes.
Yep.
You can always email us at tshishow@gmail.com or send us a voice memo. We've had some nice ones lately, not this week, but other weeks. And we always enjoy hearing your lovely voices. And the AOL keyword, as always, is tshi. It's never been anything else.
Nope.
It will never be anything else.
Go back to the late 90s, early 2000s. Join the Girls 5 Eva group and come to the AOL keyword Stichy
chat room?
I don't know.
Well, that being said, thanks for joining us. And that was everything that we can think of for small talk right now. Give us a couple of days.
We'll have more.
I'm sure we'll have some more. Because life rolls on.
Remember that show, Life Goes On, with Patti
yes.
LuPone?
Oh,
that was my first like knowledge of Patti LuPone. I was like, who is this scary lady? Like, she is scary to me. Not like scary looking. She just seemed like, you know.
She's fierce.
Yes. And I was like, I don't like. And then now, the more I've learned about her, I'm like, oh, she, yes, that's.
She actually is.
Kelly Martin. Corky. I don't know what his real name was.
That's true.
We're gonna start fresh, take a couple new steps, and wear our comfortable shoes.
These are comfortable, I have Barbie feet.
Look at our history, there is no mystery. The problem here was you. Take off the filter from the photograph, and look who it is you see. It isn't perfect, so what's wrong with that? The best things in life are free.
That's why rich people never carry wallets.
So what if we